Hey everybody, I'm Jazz.
And I'm Molly. And welcome, welcome, welcome to
Wild
Wicked
World.
Guys, we're back.
Hello, hello, hello.
That's right, that's right. And it is actually Friday, right after work. I came straight here to record. Jazz called in today.
Indeed.
So, but she's like, I still want to record. So my husband is actually with us today. He has to suffer through it because he works with us. So I was like, oh, I'm going to record after work. So you're going to just have to deal with it.
Yes. So hello, Davey.
I'm going to my mom's tomorrow for Mother's Day weekend. So we're not going to record our normal day. So.
The next 2 weeks we're recording on Friday, yeah, actually.
It's probably going to be like that a lot because Jazz is, it's summertime coming up. So Jazz has always got something going on.
I got to be outside. I got to be. And which it's crazy though, because like when I went to my doctor's appointment, they called and they was like, yeah, you're very low on vitamin D. You need to be outside more. I'm like, girl, how?
Wow, that's strange.
It is. I'm outside all the time, so it's weird.
That is very strange. Maybe your body's just not absorbing it correctly or something.
Maybe.
Interesting.
I wore long sleeves. That's probably it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get burnt.
That's what sunscreen's for.
My skin is allergic to sunscreen. I can't wear sunscreen.
There's got to be some sunscreen out there that's somewhat for sensitive skin.
Yeah, I tried sensitive skin, baby, like all types of sunscreen.
That's weird.
I probably spent over $100 trying to figure out which sunscreen to wear.
Wow, that's crazy.
Skin.
The biggest organ in our body.
Word?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was an organ.
Your skin is considered an organ. It's the biggest organ in your body.
Interesting.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not good at anatomy.
Well, you know, you learned something today.
I guess so. It's been a very draining day. I'm exhausted.
We got our bonuses today at work, though, so that's good.
Of course, when I'm not there.
Yeah, it'll be there Monday for you. You could have kind of picked it up. A bunch of other people who didn't come in today came in and got their checks.
Yeah, Patricia did, I know.
And so did Brandy and Trayshawn.
Oh!
It's Trayshawn's birthday today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's like, my birthday and I'm getting paid and I ain't working today?
Yeah, he came in and hopped on his forklift. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I didn't know if I'd be able to find TC. I was like, dude, if you wreck or get, you know, something happens, you're not on the clock right now. You get that, right?
That's crazy. Hey, I don't blame us. Get your money.
Anyway, so you got anything you want to talk about?
Oh, so for our jazz talk, this was very last minute. Like, I literally thought about it just morning.
Just morning?
Yes. Just morning.
Did you just come up with that?
No.
Did you mean to say just this morning?
No, just morning.
Okay, English.
And so it's a kill, marry, or have sex.
Kill, marry, fuck. Come on.
No, I'm working on my cursing.
I'll say it for you. Kill, marry, or fuck.
Okay, so you got Freddy Krueger, Chucky, and Jeeper Creepers. Yeah.
I kill a Jeeper Creepers guy, especially after what I know about the director of Jeepers Creepers.
I knew you were going to say that.
In a second. You know what? I wouldn't mind being the bride of Chucky. I think I might marry Chucky. And Freddy Krueger would probably be pretty fun.
Freddy Krueger's not the man of your dreams.
Yeah. What do you say?
I'm definitely killing Jeeper Creepers because I thought about that too. And then I thought that I would, there was probably Chucky, probably I'd marry him. And then you already know.
Get so the we're freak the same.
Out. Yeah. And, you know, there was, I can't remember which one, but there is a Nightmare on Elm Street movie where he does have sex with some, Freddy versus Jason. Remember the scene where they were at the camp and he was having sex with a lady and she, like, died? And I was like, am I sure about this?
That's right. So. That's right. Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing, he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
That's the whole, what am I looking for? This origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. So, speaking of Jeepers Creepers, I would have saved this conversation for our next mini wicked, but it came to our attention that the director of Jeepers Creepers is actually a convicted sex offender. He did a movie called Clown House in like the 80s or something like that. And he was actively molesting and raping one of his actors on that. And he actually videoed it and had video proof of him raping this boy. So yeah, I didn't know that about him. And then he actually was convicted of it, and he served like 15 months, I think, in prison. So that alone is fucked up. But what's even more fucked up is that he came out of prison after being a molester and went on into Hollywood, continued to be a director and be accepted by everybody. No big deal.
Yeah, so that's gross.
The entertainment industry is disgusting.
It's something else.
It is disgusting. So we will not be watching Jeepers Creepers and covering Jeepers Creepers in any way, shape, or form on our Mini Wickeds, because we are not going to. I'm never going to watch it again because I'm not going to support a sex offender.
I want to go down a rabbit hole and see like how many other people has this happened to. Like came out of jail and then moved right back into the industry to make movies.
We already know that our prison system does not reform anybody.
Yeah, straight trash.
So yeah. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've started not doing her on true crime stories and stuff. There's just not enough things out there. So in lieu of that, we're going to be starting to do our jazz talks in the beginning of the episode. So I think that's been kind of cool. I've been enjoying it.
I know. I've been trying to Google some good stuff. I'm like, I got to keep it entertaining, but.
Yes, you do.
I try to like listen to like, because usually when I listen to other podcasts, like they'll get like on a rabbit hole and I'll be like, oh, that's a good idea. And I kind of like switch it up a little bit into like what. You know, fits me and you better.
So. Right, right. All right, then. Well, Jazz, what time is it?
Molly, time to fuck around and find out.
And we're going to do that. And this week, we are talking about a really fucked up one. And it's an amazingly fucked up tale of Joseph Fritzl. Yeah, that's going to be, this might be a hard one for some people. It might be triggering for some people, like rape victims or, you know, molestation victims and things like that. It's a pretty fucked up case. So the Fritzl case emerged in 2008 when a woman named Elizabeth Fritzl told police in the city of Amstetten, Lower Austria, that she had been held captive for 24 years by her father, Joseph Fritzl. Fritzl had assaulted, sexually abused, and raped his daughter repeatedly during her imprisonment inside a concealed area in the cellar of the family home. The incest resulted in the birth of 7 children, 3 of whom remained in captivity with their mother. One died shortly after birth and was cremated by Fritzl, and the other 3 were brought up by Fritzl and his wife, Rosemary, having been reported as foundlings. Joseph Fritzl was arrested on suspicion of rape, false imprisonment, manslaughter by negligence, and incest in March 2009. He pleaded guilty to all counts and was sentenced to life imprisonment.
So his wife, did she know about this?
We'll get into that.
I am sick.
We will definitely get into that. So Joseph Fritzl was born on April 9th, 1935 in Amstetten, Austria, to Joseph Fritzl Sr. and Maria Fritzl. He grew up as an only child raised solely by his working mother. His father, who was a severe alcoholic, had deserted the family when Fritzl was 4 and never again came into contact with him. Fritzl Sr. later fought as a soldier in the Wehrmacht during World War II and was killed in action in 1944. His name appears on a memorial plaque in Amstetten. In 1956, at age 21, Fritzl Jr. married 17-year-old Rose Marie, with whom he had 3 sons and 4 daughters. So he had 4, I mean, wow. He had 7 kids himself just with his legitimate marriage. Including Elizabeth, who was born on April 6, 1966. Fritzl reportedly began sexually abusing Elizabeth in 1977 when she was aged 11. After completing his education at an HTL technical college with a qualification in electrical engineering, Fritzl obtained a job at Volastalpine in Linz. From 1969 until 1971, he held a job in a construction material firm in Amstetten. Later, he became a technical equipment salesman, traveling throughout Austria. He retired from active employment when he turned 60 in 1995, but continued some commercial activities. In addition to his apartment building in Amstetten, Fritzl rented out several other properties. In 1972, he purchased a guest house and an adjacent campsite at Lake Monsey. He ran it together with his wife until 1996. So he seemed like he was a pretty successful person as far as his professional life. In 1967, Fritzl broke into the Lynn's home of a 24-year-old nurse while her husband was away and raped her while holding a knife to her throat, threatening to kill her if she screamed. According to an annual report for 1967 and a press release of the same year, he was also named as a suspect in a case of attempted rape of a 24-year-old woman and was known for indecent exposure. Fritzl was arrested and served 12 months of an 18-month prison sentence. In accordance with Austrian law, his criminal record was expunged after 15 years. That's ridiculous. As a result, more than 25 years later, when he applied to adopt and or foster Elizabeth's children, the local social service authorities did not discover his criminal history. And that is therein the reason why that's a stupid fucking law.
Needs to stay on there.
Especially if it's something for a sexual assault or something like that. That should have to stay on a record. You can maybe understand getting a drug charge in your early 20s or something. You know, we all do stupid shit when we're younger. But not, you know, certain crimes, no. So on November 12th, 1986, at 6:40 a.m., 17-year-old Martina Claudia Posch left her home in Vöcklabrück to get a nearby bus stop. When she did not show up for an agreed meeting with her boyfriend at around 5 p.m., he called Martina's mother, who thought her daughter was already with her boyfriend. She later learned that Martina had not shown up for work that day, and authorities were also able to determine through witness statements that Posch had not been on the bus that morning either. On November 22, 1986, two scuba divers found Posh's body wrapped in two olive green tarpaulins on the southern shore of Lake Monsey. The forensic examination revealed that she had been killed by strangulation 2 hours after leaving her parents' home. After his arrest, Fritzl was investigated for possible involvement, since at the time of the murder, he and his wife ran a guest house, which was located opposite where Posh was found. And she was also very physically similar to his daughter, Elizabeth. In addition to Posch's homicide, Fritzl was looked into as a suspect in the death of Anna Neumeier, who was killed with a captive bolt pistol in a field in Linz on August 17, 1966. She had disappeared on her way to Wells, 35 kilometers from where Fritzl worked at the time. Another potential victim was Gabriela Supukova, 42, a prostitute who was murdered in August 2007. Her body was found at Lipno Reservoir near the Austrian-Czech border at a time when Fritzl was on holiday there. However, Fritzl was ultimately not charged with any of these murders due to lack of evidence.
I feel he did it.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible that he maybe did one of them or so, but it wasn't necessarily his MO.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so he had a straight up victim sitting in his basement for 24 years. So why go out and find other people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I don't know. It could go either way with that. But he seemed to like to rape people, but there wasn't really any indication that he actually had killed anybody. Even with his prior actual rape convictions, he used violence to get the rapes done, but he never killed them. He let them go. So after his arrest, Fritzl claimed that his behavior toward his daughter did not constitute rape, but was consensual. Fuck yourself, dude. In extracts from talks with his lawyer, Fritzl said that he always knew during the whole 24 years that what I was doing was not right, that I must have been crazy to do such a thing. Yet it became a normal occurrence to lead a second life in the basement of my house. Regarding his treatment of the family he had with his wife, Fritzl stated, "I am not the beast the media make me to be." Regarding his treatment of Elizabeth and her children in the cellar, he explained that he brought flowers for Elizabeth and books and toys for the children into the bunker, as he called it, and often watched videos with the children and ate meals with Elizabeth and the children. Fritzl decided to imprison Elizabeth after she did not adhere to any rules anymore when she became a teenager. "That is why I had to do something. I had to create a place where I could keep Elizabeth by force, if necessary, away from the outside world." And then you started fucking her? He suggested that the emphasis on discipline in the Nazi era, during which he grew up until the age of 10, might have influenced his views about decency and good behavior. The chief editor of News Magazine noted in an editorial that they expected Fritzl's statement to form the basis of the defense strategy of his lawyer. Critics said his statement may have been a ploy to prepare an insanity defense. Reflecting on his childhood, Fritzl initially described his mother as the best woman in the world and as strict as it was necessary. Later, he expressed a negative opinion of his mother and claimed that she used to beat me, hit me until I was lying in a pool of blood on the floor. It left me feeling totally humiliated and weak. My mother was a servant and she used to work hard all her life. I never had a kiss from her. I was never cuddled, although I wanted it. I wanted her to be good to me. He also claimed that she called him a Satan, a criminal, a no good, and that he had a horrible fear of her. In 1959, after Fritzl had married and bought his house, his mother moved in with them. Over time, their roles reversed, and his mother came to fear him. Eventually, he also admitted he had later locked his mother in the attic and bricked up her window after telling neighbors that she had died, and kept her locked up until her death in 1980. He had a real inclination for walking up women. It is unknown how long Fritzl kept his mother locked up in his attic, but newspapers have speculated that it may have been up to 20 years. So he had his mom in the attic, his daughter in the basement.
Like, it's a prison cell going on over there.
Was he fucking his mother, too? I highly suspect that he was. In a report by forensic psychiatrist Adelaide Kastner, Fritzl's mother is described as unpredictable and abusive. Fritzl referred to himself as an alibi child, meaning that his mother only gave birth to him to prove that she was not barren and could produce children. Fritzl claims that his pathological behavior is innate. During his prison stint for the earlier rape conviction, he admits that he planned to lock his daughter up so that he could contain and express his evil side. He said, "I was born to rape, and I held myself back for a relatively long time. I could have behaved a lot worse than locking up my daughter." The forensic psychiatrist diagnosed Fritzl as having a severe combined personality disorder. There's that personality disorder, which included borderline, schizotypal, and schizoid types, and a sexual disorder, and recommended that Fritzl receive psychiatric care for the rest of his life. Later reports have revealed Fritzl's premeditated plan to lock his daughter up was not for discipline, but for his own gratification, which I agree. Pursuant to the agreement that she would never have to see her father again, thank God for that, Elizabeth Fritzl gave videotaped testimony before Austrian prosecutors and investigators on July 11, 2008. On November 13, 2008, authorities in Austria released an indictment against Joseph Fritzl. He stood trial for the murder of the infant Michael, who died shortly after birth, and faced between 10 years of life and life imprisonment. He was also charged with rape, incest, kidnapping, false imprisonment, and slavery, which carry a maximum 20-year term.
Yeah, he needs to be locked up forever.
Yeah. After completing compulsory education at age 15, Elizabeth started a course to become a waitress. In January of 1983, she ran away from home and went into hiding in Vienna. Too bad she, didn't stay away. She was found by police within 3 weeks and returned to her parents in Amsterdam. She rejoined her waitress course, finished it in mid-1984, and was offered a job in nearby Linz. On August 28, 1984, after Elizabeth turned 18, Fritzl lured her into the basement of the family home, saying that he needed help carrying a door. In reality, Fritzl had been converting the basement into a makeshift prison chamber. The door was the last thing he needed to seal it. After Elizabeth held the door in place while Fritzl fitted into the frame, he held an ether-soaked towel on her face until she was unconscious, then threw her into the chamber. Can you fucking imagine?
What?
Hey, honey, can you help me with this door real fast? Come down to the basement. And you're like, shh, dad. Boop, 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 boop. Help dad. And then next thing you know, you wake up and you're your dad's captive and his sex slave.
Like, you just helped
What the fuck just happened?
You just helped your dad put together your prison.
Oh, prison. You just helped him make your own prison. After Elizabeth's disappearance, Rosemarie filed a missing persons report. Almost a month later, Fritzl handed over a letter to the police, the first of several that he had forced Elizabeth to write while she was in captivity. The letter, postmarked Brana, stated that she was tired of living with her family and was staying with a friend. She warned her parents not to look for her or she would leave the country. Fritzl told police that she had most likely joined a cult. Over the next 24 years, Fritzl went to the hidden chamber almost every day, or a minimum of 3 times a week, bringing food and other supplies and repeatedly raping her. Elizabeth gave birth to 7 children during her captivity. One child died shortly after birth, and three, Lisa, Monica, and Alexander, were removed from the chamber as infants to live with Fritzl and his wife, who were approved by local social services authorities as their foster parents. Officials said that Fritzl very plausibly explained how three of his infant grandchildren had appeared on his doorstep. So she just,
no.
She's popping out these kids and just leaving them on the doorstep.
There's no way.
The family received regular visits from social workers who saw and heard nothing to arouse their suspicions. So many times social workers were in this house. Apparently they didn't check the whole house.
Jeez, they didn't even want to speak to the mother at all, try to find her.
Following the fourth child's birth in 1994, Fritzl allowed the enlargement of the prison from 35 to 55 meters, which is 380 to 590 square feet, putting Elizabeth and her children to work, digging out soil with their bare hands for years. The captives had a television, a radio, and a video cassette player. Food could be stored in a refrigerator and cooked or heated on hot plates. Elizabeth taught the children to read and write. At times, Fritzl would punish the family by shutting off their lights or refusing to deliver food for days at a time. Fritzl told Elizabeth and the three children who remained, Kirsten, Stefan, and Felix, that they would be gassed if they tried to escape. Investigators concluded that this was an empty threat to frighten the victims. There was no gas supply to the basement. He also told them that they would be electrocuted if they tried to meddle with the cellar door. According to Fritzl's sister-in-law, Kristen, he went into the basement every morning at 9, ostensibly to draw plans for machines, which he sold to manufacturing firms. He often stayed there for the night and did not allow his wife to bring him coffee. I wonder why. A tenant who rented a ground floor room in the house for 12 years claimed to hear noises from the basement, which Fritzl said were caused by the faulty pipes or the gas heating system. The balls of these motherfuckers, man. You have a captive in your fucking basement and you're renting a room to somebody in the same house?
And and the thing is, he got away with it for so long.
Lord have mercy. On April 19th, 2008, Fritzl agreed to seek medical attention after Kirsten, Elizabeth's eldest daughter, fell unconscious. Elizabeth helped him carry Kirsten out of the chamber and saw the outside world for the first time in 24 years. He forced Elizabeth to return to the chamber, where she remained for a final week. Kirsten was taken by ambulance to a local hospital and was admitted in serious condition for life-threatening kidney failure. Fritzl later arrived at the hospital claiming to have found a note written by Kirsten's mother. He discussed Kirsten's condition and the note with a doctor, Albert Reeder. Medical staff found aspects of Fritzl's story puzzling and alerted the police on April 21st. The police broadcast an appeal on public media for the missing mother to come forward and provide information about Kirsten's medical history. Police reopened the case file on Elizabeth's disappearance. Fritzl repeated his story about Elizabeth being in a cult and presented what he claimed was the most recent letter from her, dated January 2008, posted from the town of Kimmeton. The police contacted Manfred Wolfhart, a church officer and expert on cults, who raised doubts about the existence of a group Fritzl described. He noted that Elizabeth's letters seemed dictated and oddly written. Elizabeth pleaded with Fritzl to be taken to the hospital. On April 26, he released her from the cellar along with her sons, Stefan and Felix, bringing them upstairs. He and Elizabeth went to the hospital where Kirsten was being treated on April 26, 2008. Following a tip-off from Dr. Reeder that Fritzl and Elizabeth were at the hospital, the police detained them on the hospital grounds and took them to police station for questioning. Elizabeth did not provide police with more details until they promised her that she would never have to see her father again. She was terrified. For 24 mm-hmm. years, she's been this man's prisoner. So, I mean, yeah, I can't imagine what she was probably going through. Over the next 2 hours, she told the story of her 24 years in captivity. Elizabeth recounted that Fritzl raped her and forced her to watch pornographic videos, which he made her reenact with him in front of her children in order to humiliate her. Shortly after midnight, police officers completed the investigation. Fritzl, he was 73 at this time, too. So this old-ass fucking man on top of it. He was arrested on April 26 on suspicion of serious crimes against family members. During the night of April 27th, Elizabeth, her children, and her mother, Rosemary, were taken into care. Police said Fritzl told investigators how to enter the basement chamber through a small hidden door opened by a secret keyless entry code. Rosemary had been unaware of what had been happening to Elizabeth. I mean, I guess I could see how she could be in the dark. I mean, she was still an idiot.
Yeah.
You got to have some kind of instincts there, especially with these kids showing up on your door and stuff. But, I mean, if he had a small hidden door and a keyless entry thing, I mean, I could see where, and he was probably very domineering.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably ruled the house, I imagine. And so, you know, she was probably very meek towards him, you know.
I just don't know if I 100% agree with it.
She had to have had some sort of fucking suspicion.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, maybe not that her daughter was down there, that something was going on down there. So on April 29th, it was announced that DNA evidence confirmed Fritzl as the biological father of his daughter's children. His defense lawyer, Rudolf Mayer, said that although the DNA test proved incest, evidence was still needed for the allegations of rape and enslavement.
Wow.
In their May 1st daily press conference, Austrian police said that Fritzl had forced Elizabeth to write a letter the previous year and indicating that he may have been planning to release her and the children. The letter said that she wanted to come home, but it's not possible yet. Police believe Fritzl was planning to pretend to have rescued his daughter from her fictitious cult. Fictitious. Police spokesman Franz Polzer said police planned to interview at least 100 people who had lived as tenants in the Fritzl apartment building in the previous 24 years.
Yeah, this is a wild story.
Berthold Keplinger, head of the clinic where Elizabeth and her children were being treated, said that Elizabeth and the three children held captive in the cellar required further therapy to help them adjust to the light after years in semi-darkness. Yeah. They also needed treatment to help them cope with all the extra space that they now had in which to move about. You know, it's crazy how your brain works like that. You might think that they would be like, oh my God, this is amazing. But when they were so used to almost darkness and this little tiny space, it is way too overwhelming for them.
Aww.
Yeah. There was this one I know that I watched and I cannot remember the name of it, but it was a really good movie that was based on this. Lifetime released the film. This might be it. Inspired Girl in the Basement. Is the name of it.
I have the book, Secrets in the Cellar.
No, Girl in the Basement.
No, look, there's a book right here.
Oh, okay.
I have that book.
Okay, well, there you go, girl. But yeah, so I think I'm Girl in the Basement, and I think I've seen it, but I think that's the one that I'm thinking of, because I can picture it in my brain right now, like all that stuff, like all the thing we went over and everything. All right, so there's a little bit more to it. Like, it talks about the cell and stuff like that, and a little bit more of the aftermath of, you know, what they went through afterwards. If you guys want to know that, you can Google it yourself.
I couldn't imagine, like, not seeing the sun for 24 years.
Yeah, man. And, you know, the only thing that probably kept that woman going is those children. Incest or not, they were still her children. So that was probably the only thing that even kept her going in any slight way, you know what I mean? Like, feel so bad for her though. My God. How is she gonna have any kind of relationship or anything after that, you know?
Yeah. And then the thing is, like, every time she sees her kids, she's gonna think about what she's went through.
Yeah. Oof. All right then. Well, let us know what you guys think about that. Yeah. And if you would like to contact us, you can do so at
3wpodcast2022@gmail.com.
Make sure you follow our social on TikTok and Instagram, both at
3wpodcast.
Also, our X page under
3wpodcast2022.
And like our Facebook and join the discussion group, both at
Wild Wicked World.
All right, guys. Just be good to your kids, okay? Just be good to them. And be decent humans, okay? Bye-bye now. All right, now a little about our first ever sponsor, helping us to get this show going. Let's Move KC. Not only is this a family-owned business by my cousin Morgan and her husband Brett, my oldest son also worked for them the summer after he graduated high school. With over 20 years of professional moving and storage experience, they are proud to be a family-owned and operated business right here in the KC metro area. Their services range anywhere from local moving to interstate moving,
packing and unpacking, one item or whole household and storage is available upon request. They offer specialty moving services as well. Piano, baby grand, grand upright, and spine. Safes, hot tubs, or any other unique thing you may have. They are fully insured and offer additional insurance upon request. Their main goal is to make sure you feel comfortable and safe in a stressful time like moving by handling your personal stuff like it was their own. Whatever your need is, they can make it happen. So if you're about to move, and this goes for any of our listeners in any states, they're a moving service for any size in any state. Check them out at letsmovekcmovers.com or check them out on Facebook under the name Let's Move KC.